another former NHLer doing tough work, joins us, analyst now on TSN 960 for the Montreal Canadiens. He's their analyst, Bobby Dallas, joins us. Bobby, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Great. Now, Bobby, before we get to the NHL, I want to ask you, you played very briefly in, for a few years with the Laval Chiefs and the St. John Mission in the QSPHL. How was that for you?
To be honest, when I hung it up in 2001, you know, when I left the Pittsburgh Penguins, I said, okay, that's it. I'm done. I've had enough. And I basically threw my stuff in the garbage when I left. Because I just thought, you know what, this is it. I'm not going to play anymore. And I was approached by then was the Laval Chiefs. It was the big team in the day. And he says, Bob, you know, I knew him from growing up in summer leagues. He was coaching back then, a guy named Bob Berger. And he says, Bob, I want you to come play for my team. I says, look, Bob, this is, you know, I'm in my late 30s now. I don't feel like playing hockey anymore. He says, no, come on out, come on out. And I went to take a look. So the first game I get there, and I just walk in the door, game starts, and all of a sudden there's three fights that break out. And I'm looking at this going, I'm not playing in this. <You know>? So I go up to Bob, and says, Bob, I says, are you crazy? I says, here I am. I'm almost 40 years old, and you want me to come play in this league? He says, don't worry, Bob. He says, I need hockey players too. You'll be my hockey players, and don't worry. I always dress about 12 tough guys. So I says, okay, let me think about it. So I got back to him, and look, for back in the day, he made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So I ended up playing for a little while, and honestly, it was sort of a farewell tour into hockey. And, you know, I played for about 2 years. I turned 40, and I said, okay, that's it. That's enough.
Now, I was looking at you had guys in your team, and, you know, and like Matt Bajorny and 280 PIMs in 37 games, and Craig Martin 216 and 34. Like, this was kind of like the penal league, if you're, you know, a slapshot reference, man. There was a lot of fights, because didn't guys have bonuses in their contract based on how many fights they had?
Well, I'll tell you what, the way it works in that league at the time, it was, you know, the guys who were getting paid the most money were the tough guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not because they were expected to fight at the drop of a hat, just to change momentum, you know, a show for the fans. And trust me, back in the day, these guys were making pretty good money per week. Unfortunately, a lot of them didn't know what to do with it, and they were broke by Monday. But That's just the way it was back then. And look, it was an entertaining brand of game for the blue-collar people, if you want to say it that. It was very, very tough. A lot of tough guys in that league. And I'll tell you what, there were some guys who came from the NHL or the American Hockey League, thought there was going to be a cakewalk for them, and it wasn't. It was pretty tough out there.
How many times do you have to drop the flippers?
Well, look, I played there for 2 years. I would say I fought twice.
Oh, okay. So.
And twice because I felt like it. You know, somebody rubbed me the wrong way, and away it went. But other than that, you know, I mean, everybody knew who I was, where I was coming from. But every team had like a you know, some good hockey players, and the hockey players played against the hockey players. You know, and the rest was more of a show, and it was. Look, I mean, we had a game when I was in Laval. We had a game against the Verdun team, which is the Dragons. It was a big, big rival since junior hockey in my day. I mean, we went to the Bell Center. I think there was 17,000 people.
Oh, wow.
That went to see the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was, look, they didn't disappoint, too. I mean, there was fights everywhere. But, you know what, it was a brand of hockey. It was a, look, for $10 a ticket to go see, it, you know, it's like WWF, if you want to call it that, with skates on.
Does that league still exist?
It exists, but it got downsized and downsized and downsized. It's very diluted now. It's just a league where a lot of young guys, you know, and some guys are trying to make a little bit of a living owning these teams. It's not like it used to be. It's more way watered down nowadays.
Bobby Dallas, analyst for the Montreal Canadiens, joins us. Bobby, what can you update us? What's the talk around Carey Price? Obviously, you know, his health, I think, is key for the long-term playoff success for the Habs.
Well, look, for Carey Price, I think it's more precautionary than anything else. You know, he played a game already. They said, you know what, don't need to rush him back. They'll rest again. And I think that's what they're going to see for the Montreal Canadiens. I don't think they can afford for Carey Price to go down for another couple of weeks again. I think they're being very smart about it, very diligent. So when he does come back and play, because let's face it, I mean, Montreal Canadiens, going into the playoffs, you don't want to be that team that's 3-7 or 4-6. You want to be on the other side of the spectrum where you're coming in with a little bit of momentum, whether it's 6-4, you know, 6-3-1, or maybe 7-2, that type of scenario where you got to be, to make noise in the playoffs, you got to be hot going in. And if you don't have a goalie, it's pretty hard to be hot going in. And I think they recognize that, so they're giving him a little extra rest.
Bobby, how has Thomas Vanek been since coming over? I know he's got one assist in his last five games. Is he getting chances or playing a little bit poorly in Montreal's mind?
Well, for myself personally, when he first came aboard, very, very excited to have Thomas Vanek to come to town playing for the Habs. But at the same time, too, they had him playing with Plekanec and Gionta, a little bit more defensive-oriented duo, if you want to call it that. And it didn't fit, and it showed that it didn't fit. I don't think Vanek even made a comment about it on the radio. I guess I'm playing with some defensive guys. And I think he made light of it. But if you can read between the lines, it's basically say, look, I'm here to score goals. I think he can score goals with the right combination of guys. He played really well the last couple of games, but puck didn't go in. Then again, you also played the Ottawa Senators and the Buffalo Sabres. So it's two different teams. You know, tonight's game against Colorado is going to be a good test for the Canadiens, because I think it's a young team that's going to be making noise in the West in the near future. I don't think they have quite what it takes right now, but with a little bit of adjustments and additions of a few maybe veteran guys in the future, watch out for the Colorado Avalanche.
Well, I look at the Avs right now, man. They're tied with Chicago. They've been unreal. I'm with you. Maybe their defense come playoff time, there's a big difference between Chicago's blue line and yeah, Colorado's blue line. But Patrick Waugh, Bobby, I've talked to a few Avs players, and they love him. And I know he was highly competitive as a player. He's one of the few superstars who went and paid his dues and really learned how to become a coach in the junior leagues.
Well, I think so. Look, it doesn't hurt that you own the team also. I mean, he went in there with a mission of trying to learn the game. You know, I heard some positives, I heard some negatives over the years about Patrick Waugh learning the ropes. But one thing that I could honestly say that I'm really surprised about, because, you know, there was a big talk about him coming to Montreal, and I said, well, look, in my mind, I was saying on the radio, I'm not sure if he's the fit guy right now for the Montreal Canadiens. Because the team was a little bit of an older team, wasn't sure how we would be able to react with some prima donna mentality guys, if you want to call it that. So I think the perfect storm for him is where he went. He had a lot of youth, a lot of inexperienced guys, and he commanded respect because of who he is, and now he's gained that respect by showing that he knows what he's talking about. How things will work out long-term, that's to be seen. But I really think that he's come in with a superstar mentality, but a humbled superstar. I think in the capacity where everybody knows the Hall of Famer, everybody knows his background, everybody knows who he is, but as a coach, nobody really knows who he is. But what he's brought out of his team right now, the players love him, because I think that Patrick Waugh was a superstar guy that played hard every single game. And he can attest to that. He claims that's what he did. He wanted to be the guy to stop pucks. So if he can instill that mentality into that youth organization over there, watch out for that team. I really think that he could be a great fit for that team for a long period of time.
Bobby Dulles, analyst for the Montreal Canadiens, joins us. Bobby, I was looking up some numbers on PK Subban. I'm a huge fan of PK Subban. You know, people say that he's got a high risk level to his game at different times. And you know, there was Boucher, a guy online, was breaking down some of his stats and saying, actually, you know, compared to some of the other defensemen, the stats don't really back that up. Being a former defenseman, you watch him every game. Is his risk reputation unfounded, or is it maybe overblown more so than it was a few years ago?
Well, I really think that myself personally, I think Michel Therrien has been way too hard on the young man. And why am I saying that? Because, guys, we've seen it. I mean, you grew up, you guys grew up watching Paul Coffey. He made a lot of mistakes, but he also had a lot of positives to him also. He brought a different dimension to the game. I could still see Paul Coffey skating in my eyes right now, in the back of my head, how we used to dominate. But I'm pretty sure, you know, Sather and the gang weren't saying, hey, Paul, you know what, get it off the boards all the time. Play smart. Play good defensively. No, it takes courage to create offense. You know, a lot of us we're the type of guys that, you know what, here's the puck. It's yours. I did my job. But PK Subban's a guy that wants the puck all the time. And when you want the puck all the time, you're going to make mistakes. You've got to be able to live with those mistakes. And I think that's, in my mind, that's been the knock on Michel Therrien over here, because I don't think he wants to give credit where credit is due. And I think that PK Subban, if he continues to play the way he's been playing this year and when he negotiates his big contract, I think he's going to eventually become a coach killer. It's either you're going to be with him or you're going to be against him, because he'll command a ton of respect. And if you don't give it to him, that's not a guy you want unhappy with you.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of PK Subban, and there does seem to be a lot of, you know, risk adverse thinking amongst a lot of NHL coaches nowadays. And it's funny, Patrick Waugh went the other way with his young player Tyson Barry. We had Matt Duchene on the show telling us how basically Patrick Waugh went to Tyson Barry and said, "Hey, I'm going to challenge you to be more offensive," because he said, "Hey, that's what he's good at." And it really is a different approach, Bobby, how Patrick's maybe gone after some young guys to know, hey, that's their forte. I want them to be where they're comfortable. Obviously, I want them to have a conscience defensively, but I'm not going to rip him if he tries to be offensive, because that's where he's most successful.
Well, you know, this is the whole point. Is that's why I like Patrick as a coach, because I think he looks at the guy's strengths and weaknesses. He looks at his team's strengths and weaknesses. They know that the defense is a little bit suspect in the back. But, you know, you can't fix everything overnight. I mean, it sometimes it takes a year, 2 years, sometimes 3 years before you hit that level. I mean, you look at the Chicago Blackhawks before they won their cups. They won a lot of games but couldn't get to the dance. You look at other teams that, you know, couldn't get to the dance. And why? Because they're always missing something. But I think as a coach in today's hockey, you got to be part-time psychologist, part-time therapist, part-time everything, dad, if you want to even call that. I think that you have to be able to see what your team brings to the table and then build with what you have, not making it more about your coaching style than your team. Because I think if you have a big team, you can play a different style. If you have a fast team, you got to play another style. And I think that's, for Michel Therrien now, I think that this is where he could come into trouble, I would say, within whether it's this year or next year. I think this is where he might, you know, he might get, in my opinion, moved along, because the youth and enthusiasm of the Montreal Canadiens, the Galchenyuks, Gallagher, Subbans, Price, Pacioretty, there's a lot of good youth things coming on here. Now, can Michel Therrien juggle that? That's to be seen. But I really think that the Montreal Canadiens, when they're skating, very, very difficult team to beat. When they're playing a chess match against their opponents, you know, tit for tat, you know, tight checking, they're beatable. So that's why I really think that they're still trying to find their identity here in Montreal.
Bobby, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for the stories.
My pleasure, guys, and nice talking to you.